You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Draymond Green got ejected from a basketball game again.
What is your major malfunction?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And now Green runs over Nurkic, and he'll be called for the foul. Oh, man.
What's going on with him? I don't know. Personally, I feel like that brother needed help.
Today's guests, Bengals running back Joe Mixon, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix, plus your phone calls and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here on a Thursday in our entire sports world, boiling it down to just a couple of stories, best we can, and what that is Easton Stick versus Aiden O'Connell. Clearly, that's this top story in all the land, yes. and their paths to Las Vegas.
Oh man!
Oh no, I'm sorry. It's about another path to Las Vegas in the NFL that might be playing out the rest of the weekend. But hey, it's on Roku tonight, on Prime Video tonight. It is a football game in the National Football League to kick off a big Week 15. We've got 3 hours of fun frolicking for you to call us at 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the channel that we like to call the Rich Eisen Show, channel 210 on the Roku platform, which is free on all Roku devices, select Samsung Smart TVs, Amazon Fire TVs. It's free on the Roku app and the RokuChannel.com. We say hello to our terrestrial Sirius XM and Odyssey radio audiences. We talk to people just over the air. We talk to people through satellites. We talk to people through streaming. We just talk to people. Is basically what I'm saying to everybody. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. What's going on?
Nothing, man. Can I really start Easton Stick in fantasy playoffs this week?
Is it really down to that? Are we down to that?
It's either him, Joe Flacco, or Zach Wilson.
Oh, we have to have a full conversation. That might be top story,
it's not great.
What's up, Mikey D?
Good morning, Rich.
Good to see you.
How you doing?
DJ Mikey D is in D's nuts. We're going to check on your homework today.
I'm
parenting
the
here.
The dog did not eat the
We're going to be checking on your homework, and your homework is to call Lexi DeVito.
Contact
your friend Lexi DeVito,
yes, Tommy
DeVito's mom, to say, "Hey, hi, Mrs. DeVito. Can we have Tommy come over?
Hey, remember me?
I'll make some cuzzini and
that's old school.
Ba-boom.
Okay,
ba-boom,
so you're supposed to reach out to Tommy DeVito's mom to see if he'll come on the program. We're going to check on your homework later. All right. That's not a top story either.
Nope.
TJ Jefferson, good to see you, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm kind of upset, Rich.
Why? Because we took your game ball?
Well, I had 64 last night, and Mike and Chris stole my mic flag, and they ran into the locker room.
What happened?
So they took my mic flag. I was going to put it up and display.
Oh, is this a bit? Yeah. Are you doing a bit?
I'm doing a bit.
It's the first time Mike ever said something funny, so we took the – that was his mic flag.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, you took the game mic flag.
It was his first great show.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yep, I got a good show.
And TJ gives his great show mic flags to his mom.
But he was on the road, and so
it was a home game for us. Wondering where we were.
I like the analogy.
Yeah.
But it is disturbing that I'm not seeing our show and Roku channel branded properly. Oh, there it is.
Hey.
Wait a minute. So there's two of them. Oh.
Well, that one's kind of new.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's a new one.
Because he knows how Mike flags feel.
Yeah.
Good one. So we are really taking it to the nth degree.
Yeah. Hey, you got to be paying attention to the world.
I was thinking, do we lead the show with this? But we can't. We just can't. We cannot.
I mean, it was
we cannot because that's typical NBA nuttiness.
Yes, fact.
I guess I don't know what this is either, but... Draymond Green has been suspended indefinitely by the National Basketball Association.
Good.
That's potentially a long time.
Indefinitely. Yeah. They're not even going to put a number on it. That's how displeased they are with Draymond Green's behavior. The phrase that they use, let me get this right, in a statement, is the reason why they are suspending him indefinitely is this takes into account Green's repeated history of unsportsmanlike acts.
That makes sense.
And would you care to guess the number of times he has been suspended in his Hall of Fame career? Because, again, we need to keep on saying this. Hall of Fame career.
Total?
Total suspensions.
17.
I know this year already.
Oh, what do you have?
17.
Oh, I was going to say like 7.
What do you got, Mike?
12.
All right. It's interesting. Normally, you're spot on because you're the only one who's played Price is Right. And as you know, it's always Price is Right rules here. Chris Brockman gets to come out of the out of contestants' row. It's 6. You were closest without going over.
All right.
Closest without going over. It all began. I feel like I'm Peter Falk reading the story.
Put your glasses on. It all began.
I just did. Well, we all know, 2016. That's the first time he's suspended. When he kicked LeBron in the King James Jewels.
It could cost the Warriors a championship.
And it was in game 4 of the NBA Finals. And then he didn't play, and then LeBron and the Cavs won the next 3. So, and that was the first time that Draymond Green started costing his teammates. I mean, don't you remember? He gets suspended for game 5, and he's across the street watching an Oakland A's game. With Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
And it started it all with, yes, they won championships, the Warriors, with him. Multiple ones. And the ones that are putting him in the Hall of Fame. But it was the beginning of the Warriors saying, okay, you know, this is what we get with Draymond, but he costs us. And then it was 2 years later, he got a 1-game suspension from the Warriors. When he and Kevin Durant got into it in a huddle in Los Angeles in a Clippers game, went to overtime. And they went at it, and Draymond got suspended, and Bob Myers, now on ESPN, the general manager at the time, said, we're going to keep it in-house. But apparently it spilled into the locker room. So the Warriors were like, we'll take it into account. We'll take it into our own hands. Well, that didn't fix anything either. And then I guess you could say that not much happened in between then and this year, but something did. We'll get to that in a second. The other 4 suspensions were this calendar year. All of them.
Wow.
He got a game suspension in March of 2023 for his 16th technical. Did you get a cake with that too?
The A-Rod birthday cake?
I don't know. To you. You know, sweet 16? I don't know. You take Ducky to the prom? Oh, that's a very bad reference. Was it?
It's like a 35-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Well, I said Molly Ringwald.
There you go. Too. You and I, right? Like yeah, that?
We're
a month later, he gets a 1-game suspension because of what he did to the, I guess, stomach/groin area of Sabonis in Sacramento in a playoff game. And then this November, puts his hands around Rudy Gobert's neck. 1-game suspension there. 5 games, pardon me. 5. And then a month later, flinging at Nurkic. In which he said, you know, it was unintentional. He doesn't usually flop to sell a foul. It was his arms he likes to flail. And he just flailed into a guy that he knew was directly behind him. Didn't mean to do it, which is why he was apologizing for it. Which is weird, which means when he means to do it, he won't apologize for it.
Yeah, that, right.
So I was looking in the statement from the NBA. I guess there was no apology from the commissioner's office saying, I'm sorry, I have to do this, because he meant to do it.
Didn't want to do it.
And
felt I owed it
by
to
the
him.
Way, of the 6 suspensions I just mentioned, none of them for striking Jordan Poole in the face. Remember that?
The
Warriors
did
not suspend
his own team.
The Warriors did not suspend him.
Interesting.
And I think a lot of people have since then said, you know, it's Jordan Poole's fault that he caught one from Draymond because...
Well, if you listen to Draymond Green speak, he's been playing the victim this whole time.
He's the one who got shipped out. And you could see in Washington, D.C., not working out for him there either.
Nope.
And he's the problem child. And I just am wondering if the fact that they did not suspend him for that. And again, we don't know what was going on behind the scenes. Something's up. March, April, November, December of 2023. Four suspendable acts. And that's why the NBA is saying they're not putting any time on it in terms of when he can come back, because according to Woj's phraseology here, the league didn't want to put a specific number on the suspension, but wants to allow Green the time he needs to deal with the challenges he's facing. And in terms of that, you know, you want to cue up the soundbite from yesterday, if you don't mind, when he was told about what Nurkic had to say. Remember, Nurkic said at the afterwards, he made a glancing reference to, at least he didn't put his hands around my neck. Yeah. And if you saw, Booker didn't laugh at that one.
Yeah, I thought he would.
I thought it was a laugh line, but I don't think anybody's finding this funny. But then again, Nurkic has every reason to be cynical. He's the one that got hit in the head,
right,
and face.
Yeah,
I think that brother needs
from
help.
somebody who said, "I'm sorry because I didn't mean to do it. If I mean to do it, I won't apologize." Okay. And so Nurkic said that, you know, he needs help, and this was mentioned to Green.
Respect. I still know what my intentions were, but respect. I think we all need help. I don't think any of us are too perfect, so respect. But I'll tell him the same thing I just told you. I'm gonna apologize to him, and I didn't intend to hit him. So, but he has a right to feel how he wanna feel about it, and I'm not gonna sit here and try to go back and forth on how he feels about it. It's on him.
I don't know him. I don't know him. He's never been on the program, and I don't know him. Honestly, the only thing I know of him is his play on the court and the repeated offenses and the number of times his Hall of Fame stellar play has helped the Warriors win by doing everything, by being sort of the point forward, by doing the dirty work down low that everyone needs to have in an NBA championship season, by being the guy who will occasionally hit the open shot, open three when everybody sags, by being the guy that does it all, plays defense, rebounds, blocks, does it all. You know, the famed Draymond Green triple doubles, right?
Yeah.
Come out of his Hall of Fame greatness.
Sometimes the offense runs through him.
True, correct. And other than that, though, we just see him. I'll see him on TNT, and he seems engaging. And then you see him in these situations, and you're going, what the heck is his malfunction? As I said yesterday, if there is a serious mental health issue here, then I apologize for that sort of phraseology. But I don't know. According to Woj, Green, the GM Mike Dunleavy Jr., and his agent Rich Paul are expected to meet Thursday to start discussing a path of counseling and assistance for Green to move forward. So that's the update on one of the best players we've seen in the last 10-plus years in the NBA. At it again, and hopefully he'll just sit there and go, why do I keep finding myself in this situation? Barkley said he's frustrated because he's not the same player anymore. What he said on Dan's show. He also said the Warriors should step in and suspend him first. I guess the NBA is like, we got this.
They had their chance. And
well, with Jordan Poole, again, yeah. I'm just wondering. The fact that they didn't do anything there, even if there's stuff behind the scenes, personal stuff that we have no idea that in any way, shape, or form could condone what Draymond did to his teammate Jordan Poole. I do not know. But all I know is since the calendar turned from that incident to 2023, four suspensions, four of them. One of them because he got 16 technicals. And then assaulting. Three NBA players, Sabonis, Gobert, Nurkic. Which is why the NBA's got to step in. We'll talk about it with our friend Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated in hour number three. He will join us. And we will also find out between now and then if he has the game ball between the Bucks and the Pacers last night.
He's got it.
Cannot wait to discard that to have this conversation.
So wild last night.
Can't wait to have this conversation. And, you know, again, it'll be better than breaking down Easton Stick versus Aiden O'Connell.
I think it could be a shootout tonight.
Oh, great. By the way, in. Sold. I'm on my way to Indianapolis tonight after today's show to call Steelers and Colts for two very passionate fan bases. One who loves me. And one who doesn't know they love me yet. Can you guess which one they are?
I have an idea.
But Indy's like a second home to you.
Oh, it is.
You know what
I
mean?
I know. I know we're exactly where we're going to dinner Friday night. Yeah. I know exactly what's happening. Oh, yeah.
Shrimp cocktail.
Dude.
That place.
I'm not a shrimp cocktail guy.
You don't?
Oh. At all.
Wow.
At all.
Are you going there?
Oh, my goodness.
I am not going there.
Wow.
I'm not going there. They're very nice people, but I'm not. Everyone keeps raving about shrimp cocktail. I'm not a shrimp cocktail.
Average Eisen show right now. Do you like shrimp cocktail?
Big shrimp.
Are you really going to just do that?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
It's a large shrimp. Rich.
No.
They're big.
No?
All right. Let's put a pin in it because we have a guest. We have a guest. His name is Joe Mixon. And the Cincinnati Bengals are kicking off the NFL Network triple header on Saturday, hosting the Minnesota Vikings. Nick Mullins v. Jake Browning into Mitch Trubisky v. Gardner Minshew.
And then
it'll be two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, Russ v. Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. Well, so that's NFL Network triple header. Huh?
The Super Bowl quarterback, winning. Jared Goff.
Oh, I'm sorry. Super Bowl participant.
Yeah. Starting quarterback.
Can I just try to? Can you just let me enhance the triple header for the NFL? Did you hear the first four names I mentioned?
I did.
Although Jake Browning's killing it. And I might have to play him in fantasy this week.
You win a lot of people.
I don't have to. I've got a choice between him and Kyler Murray.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, you might want to wait for fantasy.
Yes, your fantasy advice at the end of this hour.
Yeah, I'm going to make your decision easier.
I've got
for you.
Top five most intriguing games of week number 15. I've got that going on.
Let's go.
Yeah. And Mike Florio in the middle of hour number two to discuss everything we heard from the owners' meeting yesterday, including the mist forming above the NFL ocean of me being right. And it's going to be so great to have this conversation.
You love it.
Because when I talk about a rule change, it takes a long time, but it eventually happens. Even if somebody who's staring a hole straight through me right now across the way feels that he's right and I'm wrong. Fumbling through the end zone, going to the defense is going to be changed. And
Rich.
It's coming, and it's coming.
Man, you sound so
and
confident.
And it's coming.
They got to name that after
you,
man.
You sound so confident.
Let's talk about that in hour two.
Which is the Eisen rule. It has to be.
Dude, changer. I got rid of the tuck rule.
You did?
I changed the catch rule. Now there's
the
this
shift?
One.
The catch rule is worse.
No, it's not. It's much better. It's a better sport when I'm in it.
Inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum.
Let's get inside of my father, John Glover. You know, we watched Talkville, and most of these episodes I never saw.
I didn't watch the show.
You never once saw yourself on Smallville.
In the beginning, I used to look at myself all the time and love to. And then as I get older, I stopped.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm older.
I was going to talk to you about that because you're 79.
Yeah.
How old do you feel?
11.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
Joe talks with Stacking Deeds co-host Crystal Hammond.
I've always been a fan of nosy neighbors. I want nosy neighbors. They can tell you what's going on 10 times faster than you would know.
Again, what's she talking about, Doug?
Really?
We're repairing neighborhoods, but then we're into nosy neighbors. And
yeah, I built a career off of that.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com. Or just stop by. The early results on our poll question, do you like shrimp cocktail, yes or no? I'm losing big.
Big, 67%.
I say no. It's now 33% no, which is better than it was like 5 seconds ago.
I voted for my burner.
Let's see what Joe Mixon has to say of the Cincinnati Bengals joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Joe, are you a shrimp cocktail guy, yes or no?
No, not me.
Oh, I see.
Joe gets it.
Huh? Joe and I are just like, we don't like shrimp cocktail, and we run very fast.
There you go.
No, don't laugh at that, Joe.
No, you got me. You might have me beat, man.
Okay, yeah, no, just wait and see. Yeah, absolutely. How are you doing, Joe? How's it going?
I'm doing well, man. Can't complain. How are y'all?
I'm doing fine, and I kind of get the sense here that your team feels like you've got a little bit of your mojo back without, obviously, Joe Burrow. What do you say about that right now?
Yeah, man. I think the vibe's definitely been high here. Everybody's been showing up to work, great attitude, you know, willing to work, do everything that we can, man, to be in great position. And everybody been locking in on the game plan, and, you know, fans been showing up and showing out, and I think that we've been feeding off of them, man. So it's been a great thing.
And so what does Jake Browning have that, you know, you would think somebody who has never really started in the NFL would have?
Yeah, man. I think just Jake's attitude. One thing about him, I feel like I've known him since we've been in high school. So one thing I known about him, he definitely throws a great ball. And I think that, you know, he's very definitely confident in his running backs and his linemen. And he also trusts his receivers, obviously, as we all see. I think that, you know, he has a total package in terms of what we need for him to be in order for us to be successful. And I think he's been mastering that, you know, to the best that he could.
All right. Looks like I found a storyline I'd like to flesh out a little bit here. So when's the first time you met Jake Browning, Joe Mixon?
I think my first time actually meeting Jake might have been when he came here about maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
But I've known of him since high school. I mean, he was probably about an hour out from me when we were in high school together.
Well, I mean, and that's, we were talking to Jordan Palmer a few weeks ago when Burrow went down and Jake went in. He's been working with Jake for a while, and he's like, anybody who thinks that he might shrink in this spotlight, you know, hey, he was a 4-year starter in college and threw 91 touchdown passes in high school. Is what he was saying. And so you knew of Jake Browning in high school?
Oh yeah, no doubt, man. And you know, he says the same thing. And you know, two of my best friends, one actually is on a roster for the Bears right now. They played against him in high school, and they were like, man, like, that might have been the best quarterback that they faced, you know, in high school. And they went to a really good high school where I'm at. So you know, like I said, I've known about him. My dad even told me about him when I was in high school. And then also, you know, as soon as Burrow went down, and my dad actually seen him play a few times live in high school, and he got nothing but great things to say about Jake.
And so what's he like in the huddle?
Definitely, I think he's very calm, cool, and collected. He definitely takes the huddle as is his, as he should. And I feel like, you know, when called on a big play, I think that, you know, I don't see no panic in him. And I definitely feel like the guy is definitely ready to deliver in a big moment. And, you know, as of lately, he has.
Unless his thumb cramps up, right, Joe? What was that
about? right, exactly.
How much crap have you given him this week for a thumb cramp?
You know what? I ain't really give him too much, but you know what? Right when we get done, I'm definitely going to the locker room.
You know what I mean? Trust me, I saw that. I'm like, come on, really? Because he was holding a throwing hand. I'm like, you can't have two quarterbacks doing that. Were you thinking Were you thinking that too?
I mean, when you know, I seen him grabbing his hand, I'm like, damn, I wonder what actually happened. Like, did he get hit? But I didn't see him. And all of a sudden, they were like, oh, we need IV. I'm like, is he cramping? And it was like, yeah. I'm like, oh, man, that's crazy.
I mean, thank goodness for that.
I ain't never seen it, though.
I've never seen it either. He's going in for an MRI or an X-ray or something, and then he's probable to return. And they said that his thumb was cramping. And I'm like, okay, I'm 54, so I shouldn't say anything. But my gosh, I mean, it looked pretty bad at the time. One last question for you on him, not to drag you into something, but I will do so. Jamar Chase, your colleague, was asked the difference between Joe Burrow and Jake Browning. Have you heard the answer to this question yet? Have you heard this?
For me,
no. Hold on a second. Have you heard what Jamar said?
No.
All right. Let me read it to you. Quote: Jake's more playful than Burrow. Jake's going to smile with you. Joe's just going to walk past and look at you and keep going. He's just not going to smile all the time. Joe is more tunnel vision than Jake. If I can describe the difference, Joe comes to work in a suit and tie. Jake comes to work in a suit with no tie. What do you think?
I would think Jake's more of a golf dresser, if that makes sense. You know, Jake comes in, he got his, you know, mainly like in the summertime. You know, as of lately, I've seen him like in the same type of attire, but with a jacket. Mm-hmm. But mainly, you know, he usually dresses up like that. But I mean, to me, I mean, it works for him. So that's all that really matters.
What about the tunnel vision part of it? What about that?
Jake is definitely, I think Jake is definitely more outgoing than Joe, but I definitely think that Joe is, as long as I feel like you talking to him more times than likely, like he's going to interact with you.
Okay. Very good. I like it. Joe Mixon here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about you a little bit here, and where you find your game and in your seventh year of being a professional football player. Joe, what do you got?
I think that everything's been great. I mean, I have absolutely no complaints on where I am and how my career has been. I think that I've been here, you know, quite some time and obviously plan on staying here for a long time. Everything's been well, man. I mean, when I got here as a rookie, things didn't go obviously as planned as we thought it would. And the first few years was like that. And now that, you know, I've been here for 7 years now, I'm obviously reaping the benefits of being on a great team. And, you know, obviously we got to finish the job, and that's ultimately winning a Super Bowl. But, I mean, I felt like we're headed on the right track. And just to see that change in culture and things like that and change in winning, I think it's been great to me, man. So I can't complain.
And in terms of just, again, you've been on playoff runs with this team, one even going all the way to the Super Bowl, and you're used to being in the final game for the AFC, that's for sure. How does this sense feel right now compared to those previous years, Joe?
I mean, to be honest, I feel like we're right in the midst of where we was before. I truly feel like the vibe, you know, the guys that is in the locker room, you know, with the vibe that we have around here, I think that everybody show up, like I told you, with a great mindset, great attitude, willing to work, and just the juice and energy that's brought around here, man, I think it's truly unmatched. And I feel like, you know, when we go out there, it comes Saturdays and Sundays. This week is a Saturday, but usually on Sundays, you know, the crowd definitely usually play a huge part in that. And I think that we match their energy. So it's been a great thing to see. And obviously, you know, we just got to, you know, everything is in front of us, and we got to do whatever we can to just keep winning one game at a time.
Where have we found you? Are you in the locker room or another locker room?
Yeah, this is the visitor's locker room.
Oh, so, yeah. Okay. So the Vikings get the little stools is what you're saying. This weekend.
Hey. Luckily, I ain't on that side.
I'm just saying. So these little, I mean, your locker is what the size of like two of these put together, right?
I'm assuming. I don't really know. To be honest, I'm assuming, but I wouldn't be surprised. It's like the ref's locker room. But
so I'd say I
don't know.
I don't want to get you in trouble with the officiating, man. I mean, there's enough of that right now. You know what I mean? You know? Okay, so that's where it is. Joe, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. We'll see you on NFL Network this week, and let's connect another time.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys for having me.
You bet. That's Joe Mixon right there from the, what is that, the officials' locker room?
Looked like it, yeah.
Okay. Cincinnati Bengals, let's talk about them. Let's talk about them.
I like their chances, man.
I don't like their tiebreakers. That's the problem.
But they can win out.
Let's talk about it. Their schedule from here on out, they've got the Minnesota Vikings coming in. And Nick Mullins, who the hell knows, honestly.
Who knows?
Right. And then they're at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, man.
On a Saturday. They're back-to-back Saturday games. Short week this week, regular week next week, and then a nice extra day off before they go into Kansas City and home for Cleveland. They're going to have to win out because they
they're going to have to win out.
Well, because they're going to have to be better than most everyone else that finishes maybe with 10 wins or 9 wins because of the tie breaks.
But I don't know how many teams are going to finish with 10 wins because there's currently 6 that have 7. And they're not all going to win out or win 3 out of 4, right?
Well,
Pittsburgh, Indy, Houston, Denver, Cincinnati, Buffalo.
The problem, again, is the Bengals have an 0-4 division record and division tiebreaks are the first ones.
Right.
And they've got 2 division teams staring at them in current playoff spots for the wild card.
Got to win those.
So, and they do have the ability to negate those tiebreakers against them because they play the Browns and the Steelers. Okay? So that's good news for them. The issue is they're 3-6 in conference.
Right.
And they've got 3 more conference games. They are against Cleveland and Pittsburgh, but also Kansas City at Kansas City.
Who's not looking too hot, okay. Let's be honest.
Let's just, you know, don't wind up on the New Heights podcast. Hey, just obviously go out and play them. I know that that's the phrase of, right. that pays. This weekend, let's just put it this way. Houston might not have C.J. Stroud. He's not practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So Davis Mills is going to go against the Tennessee Titans in Houston with the Titans showing up in the old Houston Oilers uniform. Talk about a major big-time troll
riding
job.
Riding high after Monday night's comeback win.
Could you imagine if the Ravens ever showed up in Cleveland wearing the old Browns uniforms?
That would be the funniest thing of all time.
That's the equivalent, isn't it?
That is 100% the equivalent. That would be the funniest thing ever.
Like, hey, we're going to do our old throwbacks, even though we left all the marks and logos there in Cleveland when we moved to Baltimore. We just gave them all up. You can keep them, said Art Modell. Can you imagine if the Ravens showed up in full-on Cleveland Browns uniform wearing the elf?
That would be
so
hilarious.
So the Denver Broncos are in Detroit. Houston is at home with Davis Mills going against the Titans team that just beat the Dolphins.
Riding high? I don't know.
One of the Steelers or Colts are going to lose.
Yep.
Or there's a tie. I shouldn't say that. Those are all your 7-6 teams. And the Bills are against the Cowboys. But the Bengals have a tiebreak over the Bills. They beat Buffalo. So things can break their way well enough this weekend to set them up for the final 3 weeks where it's all the conference games. And then they can get a 6-6 conference record and a 2-4 division record. But most importantly, the 2 wins are against teams that they would then split with and remove those tiebreakers that count against them off the table. Right? Mm. That's the pathway through for the Cincinnati Bengals. Because, again, we could sit here and go, hey, I love Jake Browning's moxie, and, hey, the defense is playing better. And, sure, Mixon now has Chase Brown. Nice little 1-2 punch right here going on. And so, you know, and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and Boyd. The one thing that was really interesting, what Jordan Palmer said, that Jake Browning had an it factor from high school and college being brought in and also a sensibility to reach out to Jordan and say, hey, you work with Burrow. I'm now backing up Burrow in case I get in. What's Joe, you know, what should I know? What should I do? One thing that Palmer said is that he's walking into a situation with a team that's good, although the record doesn't show it, but the roster sure does and its recent history sure does, and how that is positive where usually a backup quarterback might get in there and the team stinks. And the receivers are looking to get paid. T. Higgins looking to get paid.
Yep.
You know, Ja'Marr Chase is about to, hoping that Justin Jefferson goes first, his old college teammate, so he can say, I want one of those. In the same way that Burrow looked at Herbert's contract and said, I want one of those. And how that is a benefit. We could sit here and go all through that, but it's really about math at this point in the season. Because even if you win out, what's going to happen? Dallas wins all the way out? Great. Philadelphia wins all the way out? Not so great for Dallas. Because Philadelphia goes with a better conference record. And right now the math doesn't look that great for Cincinnati. But they're not going to sit there as they're all excited about how well they've been playing and how much they are excited to be in front of their home crowd to kick off the NFL Network triple header on Saturday. They're not going to sit here and go, yeah, but the math stinks. I guess I could do that here. Be sort of the Land Clark buzzkill type guy right here. But that's the fact. Just win out and see how everything else breaks. And yep. I just gave you some very feasible scenarios how things can break well for the Bengals from this point through Monday night. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take some of your phone calls. We do have some other playoff clinching scenarios. And TJ Jefferson.
Yes, sir.
We need some fantasy advice. Chris Brockman needs some. I need some. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be in your within your weekly report and suggestions.
It's interesting that Joe Mixon was on.
Okay, very good. Okay, I like it.
Maybe.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. Happy 26th birthday to DK Metcalf. Hey. It's DK Metcalf's 26th birthday. Wow. We just showed on the Roku channel feed our interview with him after he got carted off in Detroit because he had to go to the bathroom. He said the clinch walk wouldn't have made it, so he got carted off, and everyone's like, oh, is he hurt? He was probable to return. Interestingly enough, today is also the seven-year anniversary of Lamar Jackson hurriedly waddling into the Cleveland dressing room, the away locker room in Cleveland on that Monday night game.
You said 7 years?
Hold on a minute. 3 years ago. Pardon me. Yeah, yeah. 3 years ago. 3 years ago today.
Time is going fast. But
3 years ago today. Remember that?
That seems like last month.
He said it was.
We need a 30 for 30 on
Did
that.
He ever really say what it was? I can't remember what his answer was.
He had, I don't know, his cramping or something?
Cramps, I think, was the official Ravens stance on that.
Okay.
Situation.
But he was just waving somebody like, get out of the way. I got to go. I think I tweeted out something after the Ravens scored and went for the conversion. I said, I think this is not the first time he's successfully gone for two in this quarter.
Hey,
now.
3 years, though.
I'm proud of that tweet.
Well, you should be.
3 years ago today.
That's crazy.
Enough of this potty talk.
Hey.
It's time for weekly fantasy advice. The weekly fantasy football update, sponsored by Prize Picks. Here's TJ Jefferson. This is a big one. Playoffs start so many other places. In my poker league, this is the final regular season week to see who goes.
How's Murph doing, rights. By the way?
I don't care.
Well,
hit it.
TJ Mikey D, you know, hit my music. Kaboom, guess who stepped in the room? It's been a while since I said that. Look, week 15, time to get you right for fantasy. Guys, Chris, Mike, as I've done most this year, I've kind of like picked guys on the fringe edge of fantasy, right? Guys that you might not think of, but today we're just going to go right into the meat of it. I'm going to tell you this week, week 15, your fantasy football playoffs, feel confident rolling with him, Russell Wilson.
Oh!
Russell Wilson is him this week, guys, and I'm going to explain to you why. For the past, opposing QBs against the Lions have scored at least 23 fantasy points, and the Lions allow 22 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks this year. We were all kind of hard on the Broncos the last season and a half, but now Russ and Sean Payton, they've kind of turned this thing around. Cortland Sutton, low-key, like I said, one of the best receivers in football. I know. If you have Russell Wilson, feel confident in him, starting him going forward through the playoffs, because he will be him for you this week. I guarantee.
I tell you this, though. With so many starting quarterbacks out now, mm-hmm. I bet you Russell Wilson's available on some fantasy league's waiver wire.
Yeah, he is. Don't not 100%.
Awesome. I can't imagine. So, because sure. There's a ton of people looking for mm-hmm. options right now. So, what else you got?
That's a very good point there, Rich.
Also, I try to make those.
You know who else is him really quickly?
Who's
Rashad
him?
White, running back for the Bucs.
He's been great lately.
For us, right?
The sleeper league.
Man. The Packers have allowed the second most production to opposing running backs this season, so there's that. Tampa Bay comes into this game. You know, they're the underdog, but I got a great feeling about Rashad White, man. He ranks third in wide receiver or running back, usage this season. He's a top 10 option this week. If you've got him, feel confident. Rashad White is going to be him as the Bucs take on the Packers. Now
he's in our fantasy footballers league team, mm-hmm. and we just don't need him this week. You know why?
because we're
we
stacked.
Got the bye.
Oh, okay.
We're number one in the league.
Oh, we did finish one. I didn't look.
We have dominated. Well,
we don't need him this week.
We did a very good job.
Back.
In
that. You know what?
With a bunch of fantasy football experts.
We're going off to Fantasy Cabo this week. What else we got to do?
Somebody call up Simpson.
What else?
We know who's not him, unfortunately, this week.
Who is?
Kyler Murray.
Oh, Rich.
Yeah, going up against, and I'm sorry, Rich, he's going up against the Niners. You know, he's only played the Niners one time in the past three seasons. Did you know that? Due to injuries and various other things. Now, look, Josh Dobbs did score 27 against the Niners in place of Murray in week four. But he's only one of four quarterbacks who scored 20 against them this season. If you've got to roll with Kyler, roll with him. But if you have any other option, like Russell Wilson, maybe you might want to roll with that because I just don't see Kyler Murray being
all right
this week. Also, we talked about the Bengals. I said there might be some Bengals things on here. T. Higgins, not him, against the Vikings. You know, he's only scored one touchdown this season. And that was week two. Vikings D, very tough to throw against. They've allowed one touchdown to a receiver since week 10. I'd say if you've got better options, roll with them. I just don't see T. Higgins being him this week.
Mm-hmm.
And just two other guys that you roll with. You know, I like to say your head or gut, kind of roll with one or the other. I'm just going to give you two names really quick that you might want to roster if they're not. I guarantee this guy's not rostered. Noah Brown, wide receiver of the Texans. Look, he got shut out last week. But C.J. Stroud had a bad game. We all believe he's the rookie of the year. We all believe he's next in terms of great quarterbacks. He's not going to have another awful game like he did. And with Nico Collins out, Tank Dell out, Noah Brown is in line to have a big game against the Titans this week. So I say roll with him if you have him. Also, Isaiah Likely, tight end of the Ravens. With Mark Andrews out, Lamar loves going to the tight end. He had a huge breakout game last week. And the Jaguars, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, they allowed 27 points to David Njoku last week, tight end.
Yep.
So, Isaiah Likely, he might be a guy to get you over that hump, and that's the fantasy advice.
All right, TJ Jefferson with the fantasy advice right here, brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks, the number one daily fantasy sports app. If you're ready to test your skills, join the Prize Picks community. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Collins is questionable right now. He just didn't practice on Wednesday, so but if he does play
with Tank Dell out, though,
no, I understand that. If he does play, then for Davis Mills, for options, I what would you say? Collins and Brown are neck and neck. Would you say that?
Nice.
What?
Proud of that one?
No, I'm not proud of anything. I'm just saying that it could be, you know, they're right next to each other.
Yeah.
They're next to each
they're
other.
They're next.
Wow.
Isaiah Pacheco's not practicing today either.
So that makes all of our pickups of Jerick McKinnon.
In terms of fantasy advice, Chris Brockman, you made the playoffs. But yeah, Justin Herbert is your quarterback.
Yes.
And your backup was who?
I did not invest in a backup this year because Herbert had an early bye. So I was like, sweet, I'm going to ride him the rest of the year. I'm going to use a roster spot on a handcuff. And
so you went quarterbackless in week four?
No, I added someone just for that week and then dropped them. But
okay.
Yeah. So,
all right.
So now I added Joe Flacco.
I don't think that's a bad choice.
I was
choice.
Able to get him off waivers, and I added Derek Carr. Should I win? He's got a good matchup next week. But Zach Wilson's out there, and
I got to be honest with you, man.
He was AFC Player of the Week.
For you to go with Zach, here's two things. First of all, Flacco has done well. But he's going against the Bears defense that has been killing it.
I know, but Yannick Ngakoue out.
Let me just tell you. Broke
his foot on the last play.
I get it, but
yeah,
the Bears, nobody's talking about the Bears because they think they're out. But they're just like the Giants, 5-8.
They're alive.
Yeah, you know, Justin Fields must be sitting there going, do I have to have my parents serve chicken cutlets to get attention around here? Like, he's probably seeing Tommy DeVito is going to wind up with a Subway commercial, you know, for their chicken cutlet sandwich. And he's just like, wait a minute.
That is absolutely
I am balling wild. Out of my skull right now, and the Bears are doing well.
Yeah.
So you got Flacco going against the Bears.
Yep.
And you just got Zach Wilson going against your sobriety. You know what I mean? And so, because we also, on this show, have you or I will or one of us will eventually just take one for the team just for the content. Mm-hmm. And for you to have your fantasy season that starts with the dumbest day of your life.
In your opinion.
All of your friends. Some of them, you know, I don't mean to start anything up with your friends group. You don't like them all. And you fly, fly to the Super Bowl city of the championship winner.
Right? I got recognized at a bar in KC
this
year. I'm just saying.
But you leave your beautiful, son at home.
Yep.
Sarah, you leave her by herself to take care of the boy. Not that she minds, but you leave that behind to go sit around for a draft with no time limit on drafting. I mean, honestly, you just flush your day down the toilet.
No limit soldiers.
And then you want to win, and you just get right to the end, and you have to use Zach Wilson as your savior.
Yeah.
That's good for the show.
Oh, you want?
And I also kind of for content.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see.
And it could wind up being like amazing that you get through the day because of Zach Wilson.
True.
What you want the most right now, out of just the obvious things that don't matter in your life, you want this so badly for Zach Wilson to give it to you. That's content. And what's also content is that this long journey that we've been watching and you've been just trudging through this entire fall and a little bit of summer into fall all the way to winter only to get an axe in the chest sounds like The Shining. Like all work and no play makes Zach Wilson a dull quarterback.
Honestly, do you
see what I'm saying?
You've got to go Zach.
He's the reigning offensive player of the week in the AFC. He's due for back-to-back games. I mean, he's overdue for back-to-back games like that.
Back-to-back.
Will Levis just lit it up.
Yeah, that's true.
Zach can do it too.
That's true. Let's
see. And for the content, the fact that you invest in Zach Wilson.
Will Levis scored 19 last week.
So you take 19. You would sign for 19 Zach Wilson points right now.
I would sign for 19 Flacco points as well.
I'm just saying.
All right, let me think about it.
This is great.
Let me think about it.
Just talk him into going, Zach Wilson.
I think you did.
For content, for the show.
Zach Wilson had 25 points last
week. Hashtag for the show. It's not like McAfee's T-shirt, but it's close.
Can I really do this?
I mean, I think
you're suggesting it.
You got me ready to pick him up.
Now, you know? I've got Kyler Murray versus Jake Browning because I had Herbert and traded him.
Okay.
Because when I traded Herbert, I'm like, I'll just play Anthony Richardson. And then poof, he goes. So I picked up Kyler Murray on the spot because a week later is when his window was about to open up. I got on him and then just streamed a bunch of quarterbacks to keep things going. And it didn't matter because my team with McCaffrey and Amon-Ra St. Brown lit up with the two guys I got in the trade for Herbert, A.J. Brown and George Kittle.
Okay.
And so my team got through the streaming wars of my quarterbacks. And now I've got Kyler and Jake Browning, because I got on Jake Browning the minute that Monday Night Football game hit. And I'm like, it looks like, you know, Jordan Palmer was right. The Vikings defense is no joke, though.
No joke. But Jamar Chase is no joke.
Neither is San Francisco.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to go Jake Browning.
I think it's fun.
Especially it adds a little bit of juice to my pre-broadcast booth time. As I'm getting ready, I can look to my side and, you know, see Jake Browning for my lead in. You know what I'm saying?
True.
What better way to endear myself further with Steeler fans than to come on the air and cheer Jake Browning on?
You don't want those people on your back, Rich.
That's for the show too. All right, I've made my decision.
You loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
I don't know that I would call it respect that I have for Sandoval, but the world hated him. He still went out, performed shows with his head held high. He showed up to the reunion when we all were going after him. Like, he didn't skip a beat. The way he's handling it, if I were in his position, and I said it straight up to the entire audience, thousands of people, I would tell you all to and the room was dead.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.